Well, it's the Virtue Signal. Hi, everybody. I'm Bill Whittle here with Alfonso Rachel, and this is the show where we talk a little bit about morality and politics and philosophy and all the rest of that fun and groovy stuff. So out here in California, where we both live, although I'm prone to admit that more than you have more dignity than I do. At least in LA County, we're back on a mask mandate here. And I can't help but notice, not just in LA County, not even really just in America, but I can't help but notice that there are a significant number of people, and I don't know how else to describe this, who like being afraid, who are relieved that the mask mandate is back on. You can tell. You can see the way they're looking at you if you're not wearing one, and you can tell. They're like there's just something that's a tremendous relief to them to see everybody else with the mask. Now, we've talked about this before, but there's an angle to this that I would like to talk about. Eric Fromm, psychologist, a student of Carl Jung, of Freud and Jung, associate of these guys, wrote a book called Escape from Freedom. And I read it when I was in college. And if I remember the class correctly, the essence of it is that there are many people who are afraid of freedom, and freedom terrifies them, and they will do anything they can to escape from freedom. And this sounds like so unbelievably anti-American, but there's a lot of ways where this thing can manifest itself. For example, one of my very dearest friends was in the Air Force for 20 years, and he said he enjoyed that time better than any time in his life. And I would ask him, well, what was it about that, Steve, that you liked so much? And he said, well, I never had to worry about cooking dinner, never had to worry about what I was going to wear, never had to worry about what time to get up, never had to worry about my paycheck, never had to worry about anything. So everything was in place and ready to go and so on. And certainly respect military service. But listening to him talk about it, I realized that he was more comfortable. I don't want to say being told what to do exactly, but that structure that inhibited his freedoms, his freedom of motion and his ability to make choices, was a state that was more comfortable to him than having relatively larger freedom of motion. You got a thing you want to say about that idea of people who just don't want to be responsible for making their own decisions in terms of what's safe, what's not safe, whether I should go out without a mask or not? You know, there are people out there who want somebody to tell them what to do when it comes to this kind of thing.
Yeah, man, it's we know that the same kind of facility can be had in prison. So and people wearing, you know, masks and the relief of that, you know, as the saying goes, man, misery loves company. And that's a real thing, man. It's there's almost no exceptions. Yeah, there's exceptions here and there, but for the most part, yeah, misery does seem to love company. This thing about people being afraid of freedom, we see that nature play out in Exodus. You know, you had the Israelites for so long under the oppression, and they're like, but if you read it, they never asked for freedom. They were just whining about the oppression, but it wasn't freedom that they actually wanted. And after, and people wonder why, well, God, why would God do this? Why would God do that? Why would God do this? And you know, Pharaoh's disposition towards the Jews was already hard. And God's like, oh, you want to play hard, huh? I'll make your heart even more hard against him. Now, he wasn't doing that just to make Pharaoh more hard against him. God had to demonstrate something. This isn't just for Pharaoh's lesson, Israelites. This is for you, because I guarantee you, once you get your taste of freedom, you're going to rebel against me. You're going to rebel against your liberators. You're going to curse Moses. You're going to curse me. And you're going to say, I want to go right back to Egypt so we could have free fish. We have security, right? We had security. Now, this is just human nature. So why? Now, the question, of course, is why? You know, we can go through the psychological aspects of, oh, well, people like what's familiar. People like the sense of security. People like the sense of safety, or they feel like, or they just want to be comfortable in this, and they can receive what they feel entitled to. And it's funny because we end up looking back on those things and we call those the good old days. But in those good old days, people were lamenting then too. This sucks. I'm tired of this. And then 10 years from now, man, remember the good old days? So it's just something that we just keep cycling around with, and it's that alone is something that I am looking forward to being liberated from.
Yeah, and you know, so, I mean, you're really gonna have to find going to have to look long and hard throughout all of literature and all the religions of the world to find a better example than an Exodus, right? I mean, you've got food dropping from the sky every day, a pillar of fire, a pillar of smoke, and the only commandment is you don't have to pick this up and store it. It'll be there tomorrow. Just trust me. Food fell out of the sky today, it'll fall out of the sky tomorrow. But they didn't believe it. You know, they just couldn't get over that fear of uncertainty, fear of the unknown. It's like, well, he says the food's gonna drop, but how do we know? Maybe we should just gather this stuff up anyway. You know, you've got a God who's doing all these things for you, and the first thing you want is a golden calf because it requires less of you. And so this escape from freedom is the default condition of mankind. Mm-hmm. I remember during the 80s and 90s, before the Soviet Union really went down, and shortly thereafter, a number of Russians, even in the 70s and 80s, number of Russian dissidents would make it to the West. And when they got here, at first they're like completely blown away by, oh, the freedom, I go anywhere I want to, say anything I want to, yes. But when they found out they had to be responsible for making rent and making their own groceries and responsible for filing their own taxes and getting their own health insurance, all the rest of it, many cases, they just said, no, I'm going back. And quite a few of them did.
Wow.
And so there's something really quite unnatural about freedom. I personally think, I don't think there's much question about it. When you've got a situation where you've got, you know, the teeming multitudes, disease, and all these oppression in the old world, those individuals who are willing to get on a boat and go someplace they'd never seen before, that was a form of natural selection. They were selecting for courage. They were selecting for risk taking. They were selecting for a lot of things. It seems to me the problem is that we're breeding that out of us pretty fast here. So many people out there would rather have. Why does somebody want single payer health care? They say it's because it's free, but we all know it comes from, you know, your payroll or whatever. What is it they like about it? They like the fact that they don't have to shop around. They like the fact that, you know, it's easy. That's really where I'm going with this. There's a lot of people who value comfort above freedom. That's the only way to put it. Mm-hmm. And these are the people that want Dr. Fauci to tell them when it's safe to go out and live their lives again. And these are the people that deeply resent seeing people making their own decisions, because who am I? I mean, you know, who's that guy? How is he qualified to determine whether or not it's safe to wear a mask or not? It's a form of entropy is what it is. It's a willingness to allow ourselves to give up things that are difficult and good and exchange them for things that are easy and not so good.
I hear you, man. And also, then there's the definition of what is easy, what's hard, defining freedom. You know, when we talk about this freedom, that's one of the things that's most difficult about it, is because it's freedom according to what? There's my freedom, and then there's your freedom. And then, you know, you're not wanting me to have the things that I'm supposed to be free to. Well, you're imposing your religion or your morality or, and then on the flip side of it, well, you're imposing your lack of faith or your lack of morality onto me, but calling yourself moral. And this, I think this is what makes it so, so difficult. You know, in our founding documents, the founding fathers were careful to say nature's God. And because here's the thing about nature, and in the culture, we're wired to believe that our rights are, we have these natural rights, right? These inherent rights that are supposed to be natural to us. The founding fathers knew better. And they said, no, nature's God. You don't have natural rights, because this is something that we understand, Bill. Nature doesn't have a sense of right and wrong. Nature is just a facilitator. It is a tool that perpetuates life. It is not a respecter of persons. It doesn't care who lives or who dies. It doesn't care about what's evil or what's good. It doesn't care about any of those things. It just is. All that being said, there is no such thing as natural rights. How can you have something that nature does not recognize? So when we have, in order for us to even process rights, There has to be a moral writer for it. The one who wrote the code of nature himself is the one who wrote the moral law that you can actually live in the natural with, because nature itself is not going to facilitate those things for you. Nature itself, because it does not recognize rights, cannot render a creature that can process rights. That has to come from something. That has to come from an author, a designer, something that we can actually base these things on. So that's why we can't just have freedom without having some sort of basis that we can agree to. I mean, because right now, freedom, nature, these things are being taken. I just saw a thing, man, not to get too far sideways here, but I just saw a thing, the big boast of this scientific leap is a trans person, a woman became a man and she gave birth to a baby, and her husband or wife or which trans also is there and trying to breastfeed the kid, and they're doing the documentary, and the person trying to breastfeed, he can't breastfeed because, well, he's a man. But this is what freedom is to them. This is what's natural to them.
Oh, I see where you're going with this. This is what untethered freedom is.
It's unadulterated.
It's freedom without it's freedom without conscience. It's freedom without morality. It's freedom without any of the virtues that make life work.
And the sad thing is, Bill, is that these folks don't even realize that the person who was the man assuming to be a woman trying to breastfeed the child keeps referring to the baby as they. Right. And refers to himself in some sort of plurality. And it's like, man, don't you even realize that in the word, when these persons are taken by demons, the demon calls himself legion. They refer. It's like you don't even understand what it is that you're doing. And you're going to raise this baby basically in the schizophrenic mindset, you know. So but this is natural. They see this thing as natural. You're going to go through these unnatural processes to do this and assume that your male body, these people are the same people who say, I think it's wrong to feed a baby cow milk, but you think it's right for a man to breastfeed a baby? That's natural to you? So this is what people do with unchecked freedom without something to basis on, and then assume that these things are natural.
Yeah, what do you say about that other than just not say anything? You know, this business about escaping from freedom is, as I said, it's a form of entropy. I remember I was doing a live event once, and it just hit me. I was just talking to people, and it hit me, and I said, you know, we're in this ongoing fight with the left, and they can win this fight, but we never can. We can only tie. We can never win. They can win, but we can never win. And the reason for that is because of entropy. Once you mow the grass, you don't get to say, I've mown the grass, hurrah, done, we win, we beat the weeds. No, entropy is on the side of the weeds. It's easier, much easier, for a patch of land to become infested with weeds than it is to maintain a patch of land with a nice lawn and rose bushes and all the rest of it. Rust never sleeps. You never, ever, ever get to say, we beat it and we can relax now. It is Sisyphus. It is a rock that has to be rolled up the hill every single day. And the only reward is that you win today. That's how it works. There's never going to be a point where you can say, well, we won, because tomorrow the grass will be growing again and the weeds will be growing again and all the rest. It is something that you can only do in the moment. You can only win in the moment and say that, well, we rolled that rock up the hill today. We cut the grass today. We scraped away the rust today. And tomorrow we'll see what tomorrow brings.
Yes.
But since gardening and rolling rocks up hills takes a lot of energy and a lot of effort, it's not easy and it's not fun. It's harder than just sitting around at the bottom of the hill with the rock. It's much harder.
Yes.
So the problem is you have to tie that effort in with some kind of reward. And this to me seems to be the biggest problem that we have now, is that freedom is is so abundant now that we no longer connect it to effort, that it's just something that's just delivered to us on a cafeteria tray. And so if we assume that freedom's just dropped out of the sky, then why go to the trouble of rolling this rock up the hill? Unfortunately, the only way that we're going to learn these lessons is when the freedom goes away. Mm-hmm. And then we're going to realize what it costs. And then we're going to be willing to do the work that we have to do in order to maintain it. And many of us, well, some of us anyway, don't have to be beaten in the face with this in order to learn this lesson, which is kind of why this show is here. And this show is made possible by the members at BillWhittle.com, all of whom are tremendous people. We just love every one of you, and we're very grateful for the help you've given us over the years and continue to give us. So on behalf of my friend Alfonso Rachel, I'm Bill Whittle. We'll see you next time on The Virtue Signal.